Margaret hasn't been feeling herself lately. It's nothing she can put her finger on. It's just there. Well, it's comforting to know that medical science has spent considerable time and energy, not to mention research dollars, exploring that very region. There. The place your finger won't quite reach. Medical science is ready and willing to help Margaret, even if it means stretching their resources to the vanishing point.
I thought he was God.
No, he thought he was God.
He'd say, "We're going to make you well, lassie." Remember that? And we believed him.
I remember coming out of insulin shock. No, it was ECT. And I heard his beeper. Saw him standing by the bed. Saw him pick up the phone. He said, "Cameron." He nodded. He was on his way out of the room. And I said, "There, but for the grace of God, goes God." I said it to one of the nurses, but Cameron heard me.
What did he say?
Nothing. He gave me more Thorazine. Or was it? Stelazine. I can't remember.
Carolyn.
Why can't I remember?
It was a long time ago. It was almost 30 years ago.
There are still parts of it I can't remember.
Postman for the new European Common Market announced today. Leave the news on, Margaret, please.
Why?
I'd like to listen to the news, that's all.
You want to listen to the news? While you're driving me to the hospital? Watch out! I am going to a large Gothic mansion. There's a tower with high, narrow windows. It's uninviting. Dark. Soot-blackened stone in the middle of the city.
That woman in the street, what's wrong with her?
There's a woman on the street. In front of the mansion. She's kicked through the snow in the street so she can stand like a bird on the white line dividing traffic. She's wearing a quilted white bathrobe and pink satin slippers. She's out here on the street. It's still snowing gently. She has tears on her cheeks.
If you'll have a seat, Mrs. Payton, Dr. Cameron will see you in a moment.
What does code 3 mean?
Beg your pardon?
The loudspeaker.
Oh, don't let that worry you. The doctors will take care of that.
Is it the woman in the street?
Beg your pardon?
Well, there's a woman outside in the street. Is that where Dr. Cameron is?
Dr. Cameron? Oh, my, no. He's here. You'll get to know when Dr. Cameron's here.
I will.
I can tell when he walks in the door. The whole atmosphere changes.
Dr. Cameron sits in his office. He has walls full of books, a mahogany desk, and a grandfather clock.
You have trouble sleeping, Lassie?
Yes.
You've been depressed?
Yes, my baby's been sick.
You've felt depressed since the birth of the child?
Are you writing postpartum depression?
I see you have Latin, lassie.
And Greek.
and a degree in classical studies.
Ah, and someone's told you that's what's wrong with you? A postpartum depression?
And I've been in analysis.
Oh, I see.
Oh, please. Please don't patronize me.
I'm afraid I don't believe in analysis.
What do you believe?
I believe change is possible. There are answers. There are cures. I believe everything is open to question, Lassie. And I believe I can help you.
He's magic, of course. His secretary thinks so. So do I, while I'm with him. But this is a day hospital. I go home every night and feel the magic fade. Every morning I reread the motto carved in stone above the entrance. It reads, Spero. I have Latin, of course, so I can translate this. It means I hope. But all I hope is that someone oils the hinges on the front door. I hope they'll find a way to straighten out the narrow, twisting halls.
To help you, I have to get to know you, Lassie. To find out what you think's important.
Lanolin, I suppose.
Huh?
People keep telling me about lanolin.
You have a sense of humor, don't you? I like that.
Oh, look, lanolin is purified wool fat with water, beaten up in an emulsion. It's no mystery. Lanolin is not world peace, eternal youth, being popular at parties, knowing how to keep a house running as well as my mother-in-law.
Is that important?
Lanolin is not the answer.
What is the answer, do you think?
I feel guilty about my family. They want me to get better, but I don't get any better.
What's the answer, do you think?
I don't know what to think.
I want to try a new technique with you. Do you see this, Lassie?
It's a tape recorder.
It's a tape recording of our conversation.
What?
You question everything. That's good.
Why tape record our conversation?
Where in the brain is memory recorded, stored? Have you never wondered that, Lassie? Plato imagined a wax block as if the mind were imprinted somehow by its experience. You remember your Plato, I'm sure, from your classical studies. Was he right? How does memory work? How do we remember precisely when we need to? How do we censor when we need to censor? Perhaps that's even more important. How do we modify the memory traces we find unacceptable?
Unacceptable?
Well, how do you forget about that wicked mother-in-law, Lassie? Can you tell me that?
I was joking.
We've talked before, Lassie.
My mother-in-law is an old woman with much too little on her mind. I don't care about her. I mean, she doesn't bother me.
We've been talking all week.
His mother finds fault with me. I can't please her. She makes me feel guilty. His mother finds fault with me. I can't please her. She makes me feel guilty.
Please turn that thing off.
It's part of your treatment, Lassie. It'll help make you well.
His mother finds fault with me. I can't please her.
The technique we call psychic driving has proved most effective. It consists of verbal signals chosen through analysis of the patient's dynamic, and especially her picture of her ideal self.
I feel guilty about my family.
Some of these signals may be painful, of course. The patient may resist this confrontation with her feelings.
Doctor?
They want me to get better, but I don't get any better.
Doctor, I've had enough. Please stop.
At 8 minutes, Margaret protests, quote, Doctor, I've had enough. Please stop, unquote.
That's enough.
At 9 minutes, she protests again, quote, That's enough, unquote.
Doctor, why don't you stop it?
And at 10 minutes, this patient continues, quote, Doctor, why don't you stop it, unquote. And her protests continue until the session ends.
He's changed the tapes now.
What tapes?
I don't have to listen to myself anymore. He's made tapes of his own. He says, Margaret is happy and contented. Margaret thinks of things the same way that her neighbors do.
Margaret, I...
He doesn't know our neighbors, does he?
Is he helping you?
It's reinforcement.
Reinforcement of what?
It works with pigeons. It's how they train pigeons.
We want you home, Margaret.
With pigeons, all it takes is food pellets.
I need you. The kids need you.
No. I'm getting better. I'm different now. I know it. I have a different outlook on life, don't I? To what I had before I started at the hospital. I was confused before, wasn't I? But I know now what I want to do.
What do you want to do?
I want to hear more tapes, of course. And learn to basket weave.
All right, ladies.
Be quiet, she'll hear you. Today we'll learn to make totally useless objects from ludicrous materials.
Today we'll learn to make paper flowers out of Kleenex.
My name is Carolyn Beatty. What's yours?
Margaret Beatty.
What are you in for? You look fairly normal.
Do you ladies at the back have something you'd like to share with us?
Do you ladies at the back have something that you'd like to share with us?
You know what I'd like to share with her?
She could have my steamed broccoli.
She can have your broccoli. She can have my psilocybin.
You what?
You see that guy over there? The one with Dr. Cameron? They say the guy's a hypnotist. A trained hypnotist. Have you looked at his eyes?
What's psilocybin?
They say he was the first man ever to kill an elephant with LSD.
What's LSD?
Ask your doctor, kiddo. Dr. Magic Cameron. Question everything. Isn't that what he says?
You wanted to talk to me, lassie.
What's LSD, Doctor?
It's an hallucinogen like psilocybin.
What's psilocybin?
Hallucinogens reduce the capacity of the individual to block the effects of repetition.
You mean the tapes, don't you? That's repetition. Listening to the tapes.
You're feeling better, aren't you, lassie, because of the tapes. But you're blocking the tapes.
The tapes say Margaret is happy and contented. Margaret thinks the same way that her neighbors do.
In many ways, lassie. You're much too intelligent.
He says I'm too intelligent.
He's just trying to confuse you, like he did with the nurses.
What nurses?
That's what everyone says, even the nurses.
What nurses?
The experiment, the sensory deprivation thing, when that guy with the eyes first came up here.
What sensory dep... What thing?
With the LSD guy, the hypnotist. And now he's back, and he's talking to Cameron. What have they got to talk about so much?
The laboratory will include a special chamber in which all significant aspects of the environment can be controlled. The chamber will include, among other things, a broad-spectrum polygraph for simultaneous recordings of individuals being studied.
He put the nurses in a soundproof room. Each one separate, alone, no lights, and he wired them up to a lie detector.
That's crazy, Margaret.
One of them went crazy. After only half an hour. She thought there were snakes coming up from under her chair.
Do you know who this man is?
Ewan Cameron. Dr. Ewan Cameron, who has been chairman of the North American Psychiatric Association.
The World Psychiatric Association.
And he was at Nuremberg on the tribunal.
That's right.
And he helped develop the Nuremberg Code. Is that what you call it? I mean, the standards of conduct for experiments. Because the people in the experiments, they're supposed to know what's going on.
Margaret!
One of those nurses was diagnosed as schizophrenic 6 months later.
Look, Margaret...
So, she's one of us now.
You know why Cameron thinks I'm crazy?
You aren't crazy.
Because I have a sense of humor. Men hate it when you laugh at them. You ever notice?
You don't belong here.
Try telling that to Dr. C.
I don't know what you're doing here.
I started to cry. In the chair at the home and school meeting.
And since I was running for the school board at the time, and since I want to run for city council, I felt somewhat foolish and I sought out help. Cameron wasn't much help. He says it's depression. I said, I'm not depressed. I said, the only reason I'm depressed is that he keeps pumping drugs into me until I pass out.
We found that prolonged coma occurred relatively frequently as accident in insulin therapy. We've taken advantage of these accidents to obtain data.
What's in that needle?
Your medication, Mrs. Beattie.
I take psilocybin by mouth.
And insulin?
I don't take insulin.
The needle doesn't hurt.
I don't care if it hurts.
It's injected right under the skin. It's Dr. Cameron's prescription, Mrs. Beattie. Please.
Get out of here, please. I don't take insulin. Please. Please leave me alone.
The patient was given insulin 41 times. She spent 16 hours in coma.
We all love you, Dr. Cameron. All your patients love you. Why is that, do you think?
Your husband's coming, Lassie.
We love you. The nurses love you. Your secretary loves you. And the most personal thing you've ever said to her is that her slip was showing.
Don't you want to get ready for your husband?
Your secretary loves you. The nurses. All the nurses. Even the nurses in the experiment.
For several days, the patient appeared dazed. She required help in walking. She sat in a chair and fell asleep very readily. She exhibited no spontaneous behavior, no interest in her appearance, and would not socialize. She fell asleep when her husband visited.
You look tired, Carolyn.
Harry makes me tired. When they said he was coming, I said, what else is new? That concerned them, but I wanted to know what was new. They call that loss of space-time image. They said, do you know what year it is, Mrs. Beattie?
Maybe you should rest.
I must have thought I was really out of it. Look, I'm not out of it.
I know.
I'm president of the Holman School. I'm running for the school board. I could run for city council.
You're going to run for city council.
I don't think women belong in politics, do you?
Carolyn,
you know what men are like when they're together. Would you want to be there? In the council chamber? Locker room? They tell dirty jokes. Now, what would you do in a room full of men telling dirty jokes?
Carolyn, calm down, all right?
I think a woman's place is in the home, that's all. I'm old-fashioned, I guess, but there's nothing wrong with being old-fashioned. Ask Dr. Anson. He has tapes of all of this, and he plays them over and over.
There's nothing wrong with you, Carolyn, except your sense of humor.
That's what the tapes say. Carolyn is happy and contented. She makes her family happy. Carolyn is a good mother.
You can be what you want.
You don't understand. Ask Harry.
You can do what you want, whatever you want.
I don't want to blame Harry, but he uses contraception.
I beg your pardon?
What's
wrong with contraception, Carolyn?
We don't have the right. Who has the right to deny the experience of life to a child?
What child?
The child who would have come into the world if we hadn't used contraception.
There isn't any child.
That's right. Because we murdered it.
No, Carolyn.
Ask Dr. Anson. He has all this on tape. You want a cigarette?
I don't smoke. Look, you know I don't smoke.
Don't light mine, then. They took away my matches.
I can't.
Go ahead. I'm allowed to smoke. Why shouldn't I smoke? You can give me a light.
Look, Carolyn, you don't have any cigarettes.
There's a cigarette here. I'm holding it. Look at it.
Look, don't do this. Please don't do this.
Look at it, Margaret. It's filter tip. Menthol.
Look, you're stronger than I am.
You're trying to confuse me. You're supposed to be my friend. But you're trying to confuse me.
Of course I'm angry.
Because your friend is facing memories which she finds painful. But she has to face these memories. It's part of her treatment.
My friend thinks she's smoking when she isn't smoking.
This is transitional behavior.
My friend combs her hair with an imaginary comb.
We see this in many of our patients. When they're establishing their space-time image, they become excited or depressed or delusional.
Why? Why do you want that? Why do you let it happen? Why?
You question everything.
Why not?
It's simply that your friend isn't totally depatterned.
Depatterned? What does that mean? Brainwashed?
We want to wipe the mind clean, don't we, lassie? We want a blank slate. We want to get rid of all those neurotic thinking patterns that have made your lassies so unhappy.
What good is a mind like a blank slate?
Neurotic thinking isn't normal thinking, is it, lassie? Neurotic thinking is incongruous with normal thinking, isn't it? It's unnatural. So it won't come back in the natural course of events. Your normal thinking will return in the natural course of events, and your neurotic thinking will have disappeared. That's how we change your behavior, lassie. That's how we get you home with your family.
How am I supposed to change my behavior if I can't remember my behavior?
You don't believe me, lassie.
No.
We'll have to prove it to you, won't we? We'll have to show you how it works.
They're trying to confuse me.
They're doctors, Margaret.
I don't know anymore what I'm doing, what they're doing.
Why would they want to confuse you?
It's research.
I figured it out, you know, why you're here.
There are people who need to know things like this, how to produce amnesia.
You know what doctors call it? Paranoia.
Code 7.
Where's my wife?
Your wife is fine, Mr. Payton. Please don't worry about your wife. She's under Dr. Cameron's care.
That's my wife. My wife is in there.
Dr. Abrams.
I don't know what you gave me.
LSD, lassie.
Whatever it was, I won't take it again.
LSD is only one possibility, lassie.
I sat on the edge of the bed. I couldn't understand how I could get off the bed. I saw the floor dissolving.
There are other drugs. A whole arsenal of drugs. We've experimented with LSD, curare, ribonucleic acid.
It was frightening. But beautiful. Everything was beautiful. Everything was shining with a kind of inner light. You were, Dr. Cameron. I watched you by my bed as you picked up the phone. And words like grace came to my mind. Being. Transfiguration. But it's crazy, isn't it? To think that you're God. You're not God.
Calling Dr. Cameron. Dr. Cameron. Code 9.
Wake up, Mrs. Payton.
Mrs. Payton? Do you know where you are?
Where are you, Mrs. Payton?
In hospital.
Do you know why you're in hospital?
We've done studies with the electroconvulsive therapy, with prolonged sleep induced by chlorpromazine and a combination of barbiturates.
I have trouble.
The patient sleeps 20 to 22 hours a day and is wakened 3 times a day for meals and toilet. There are 3 stages to depatterning. In the first stage, the patient shows serious memory defects, but she knows she's in hospital. She knows she's there because she's sick.
You know who I am?
She can recognize some of her doctors and nurses. She can recognize her family when they visit.
Who are you?
In the second stage, the patient has lost her spatial and temporal image. She has no sense of where she is or why, but she knows she's disoriented. She tries to reorient.
Keep these numbers after me, Mrs.
In the third stage of depatterning, the patient loses the feeling she should have a space-time image. She's typically smiling, unconcerned. She can answer simple questions, but she does not recognize anyone. She has no idea where she is, but she's not troubled by the fact.
No more.
Now, this is part of your illness, lassie.
I won't let you do it. No more. I won't be part of your experiments.
Experiments?
No more hallucinogens? No insulin? Electroshock?
And we've been working on these techniques for years, lassie. We've reported our results, and in case after case, we've achieved the same results.
Depatterning?
Well, who knows better, lassie, how to make you well?
Deprogramming?
I've explained about neurotic thinking patterns.
It's brainwashing.
No, lassie.
You want us all to think alike.
I want you well, that's all.
You want us all in lockstep, goose step, like stormtroopers for Lanolin.
Don't joke about Germany, lassie. Because I was in Germany after the war, at Nuremberg, on the tribunal, and those trials more than anything set me on my course, lassie. Because I saw there, for myself, the youth of Germany, the extent to which they'd been indoctrinated. And I wanted nothing more than to find out what we could do, what techniques we could turn to if we wanted to change these dangerous beliefs. I had to find out how to re-educate these people.
Do you think I need re-education?
You must decide that for yourself, lassie.
And my friend, Carolyn, does she have dangerous beliefs? Is that why she cries at her home and school meetings?
You must make up your mind. Do you want to get better or not?
Margaret's happy and contented. Margaret thinks
of things the same way that her neighbors do. Margaret's happy and contented. Margaret thinks of things the same way that her neighbors do. Margaret's happy and contented. Margaret thinks of things the same way that her neighbors do.
I can't remember. There are still parts of it I can't remember. Did I tell you that? My children say I repeat things that I don't remember what I've told them.
I can't remember where I live sometimes. I find it hard. Sometimes I keep a list of things that I should do. Things I might forget. You know. Get up. Get dressed. I was in coma for 60 days. I had electroshock at least 50 times. Electroshock. Did I tell you about that?
I'm sorry, Carol. It was a long time ago. It was almost 30 years ago. I can't remember.
Oh, what an arsenal modern medical science has at its disposal. Doctors are the new alchemists, turning all that is base into gold. And yet, what a waste to use all those resources on the sick. Think what one could do for someone who was more or less healthy. Ill, not ill. It's all a matter of interpretation, isn't it? Especially when you're working on the fringe. Disease takes on new meaning when viewed from the vanishing point.
Seeing God by Carol Bolt. Janet Wright was heard as Margaret, Ron Halder as Dan, Donna White as Carolyn, and Eric Schneider as Dr. Ewan Cameron, with Judith Berlin as the first nurse, Therese Champagne as the second nurse, and Marie Stillen as the secretary. The voice of introduction was David Calderisi. Music for Seeing God was by Bruce Riddell. Technical operations were by Gene Lovrock, with sound effects by Jay Hyrene. And the production assistant was Dagmar Kafanki. The series script editor is Sandra Rabinovich. Seeing God was produced in Vancouver by John Giuliani. The executive producer of Vanishing Point is William Lane. Tonight's production is the last of the current season on Vanishing Point. Next Friday night, at 11:30, be sure to join us for the first of a three-part adaptation of The Mist by the modern master of the macabre, Stephen King. Until then, I'm Barbara Budd, wishing you good night.